Who's your biggest role model and why?
I would have to say, and I know it's cliche, but my mom. And the reason is because my mom was a single mom for some time, but my mom took me with her when she traveled for work. And it gave me such a broad view, and I was part of it. And so with my daughter, it was always like, my daughter's gonna be part of my life. And she's gotten to travel and do all of these amazing experiences.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of The Purpose Pivot, a podcast in partnership with MarketScale. Today, I get to sit with my longtime friend, Kendra Bracken Ferguson, who is also in The Purpose Pivot book. And today, we're going to get to know her a little bit better from a career standpoint and also her parallel path and well-being as well. So, Kendra, thank you so much for sitting with us today.
Oh my gosh, this is such an honor and a treat. I am just so excited for Purpose Pivot and being here. Congratulations. It's such a great moment for you, friend.
Thank you. Well, I wouldn't be here without you, my friend, but we're going to get into that. But first, I want the audience to get to know you a little bit better because there is so much to know. You are a multiple time, like instead of a multi-time Emmy Award winner, you're a multiple time entrepreneur been acquired person. You started a fund, you advised brands, you're an author. I mean, all the things, what you do with Brain Trust. So tell the audience a little bit more about that, a little bit, you know, from your first days when you really were so forward thinking about influencers and marketing with DBA, which was acquired, to today. Tell us a little bit about Kendra.
Oh my gosh. It's so funny because I'm sure you experienced this in writing the book. Because my book, The Beauty of Success, is so much about the journey of being an entrepreneur, someone who is building something within a company that they don't own, to my evolution as an entrepreneur building on my own, I've had to really go deep into all of the different amazing pivots in my career. So I'll give you the highlights. I was one of those people, sixth grade, I said, I want to do public relations for a living. I grew up, went to school for it, had my first internship. I said, I wanted to be only interning at one of the top five largest PR firms in the world. I ended up getting an internship at Fleishman Hillard, which at the time was number one, owned by Omnicom. And that was my trajectory. I was like, I want to be a VP. I want to like grow up the corporate ladder. And along the way, I started building things within Fleishman. I was building the Moms Club, the Digital Club, the Youth Marketing Club, but I still didn't realize my future would be an entrepreneur. Fast forward, I got recruited to go to Ralph Lauren. I was their first director of digital media. And there I was like, this is it. I love Ralph Lauren. I'm doing what I want to do. And I met my first business partner, Karen Rabinovitz, and we started a company, Digital Brand Architects, in 2010. One of the first agencies to manage bloggers, bought in our third partner, Raina Pinchansky, who runs it today. And it was amazing. We built this fantastic brand. It was the first time I raised money. We raised over $2 million. And the company ended up selling to UTA. And I was sitting in my office thinking, what have I learned? What do I want to do with myself? And I wrote Brain Trust on the whiteboard. And I was like, I love working with smart people and people that I can trust. And so over the years, Brain Trust has been a social media agency, award-winning. It was acquired. I launched Brain Trust Founders Studio, the largest membership platform for diverse beauty and wellness founders. I co-founded Brain Trust Fund, a $15 million venture fund that invests in founders. So I've been playing the wave of entrepreneurship. And then last year, I had this interesting opportunity. Someone reached out to me about taking a role as a public company CEO of a publicly traded company, something I had never done. So I was like, oh, on my roadmap, wasn't thinking about it. But let me add one more thing to my resume. So did that experience, learned a lot. The things I set out to do, raising money, acquiring a company, I did. And ultimately, I said, this is not for me. I'm going back to my roots as an entrepreneur. And so just this year, I've launched my next business with my co-founder, Leslie Robertson, called Lemmy Nicole Beauty, and we're a retail marketplace. I own vending machines, which is crazy. Another industry.
Okay. Yeah.
So looking at retail, and we were saying like, where's the white space? And we were talking to founders and the upheaval and everything that's happening. And we said, let's bring emerging and established brands into high traffic areas, airports, hotels, college campuses. We got airport certified. We were at the National Airport Business.
Congratulations. No easy feat.
It's one of the hardest places. Warehouse now. And So yeah, so I'm still climbing that entrepreneurial ladder.
Well, if it's in your DNA, I don't think it's ever going to go away. And you are one of the most entrepreneurial people I know. You're a visionary, right? And so I think we've had these conversations and there's no one formula for success. And some of it is just who you are and what that best matches that. And when you're a visionary, it's about the big picture thinking. It's getting that big picture set up. Other people can operationalize it and run it. But your highest power is that vision.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Thank you for saying that. I was just having this long session with my executive coach, because being a visionary, to your point, I have to also match that with staying focused. And I said, for the first time in a long time, I just feel very stable. I feel very confident. I've never had a co-founder who matches my yoke differently in such a sustainable and fulfilling way. And so it's really exciting. And building new things, I'm like doing the outreach and speaking at the conference and going to look at the vending machine. We're meeting with the realtor. And I love it. I'm really blessed to be in this position, especially with all the different things that are happening in the world. So to be able to keep trekking as a visionary and operator, I wouldn't change a thing.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to continue to watch because I know what you're going to build. It's going to be amazing. And we're going to pivot a little bit to what's sitting right behind you. And it's your book, The Beauty of Success. There you go. Multiple copies just coming out.
I love it. Everywhere.
But talk to us a little bit about, because this book, right, is a culmination of your experience. So if anybody wants the full story, they have to buy the book. But let's discuss a couple things. What are the two or three things that you really want to convey here that founders should be thinking about in their journey to success?
So it's interesting because, and I'll give this quick snapshot. I host a podcast called Business of the Beat, and we're in season 5, 200 and something episodes. And a dear friend from Sephora was actually like, you should host this podcast. And I did it reluctantly. I was like, I'm signing a 1-year contract with my network. That's it. And now, of course, 5 seasons later, but you just never know where opportunity is going to come. So my publisher actually was listening to my podcast and reached out on my website and was like, have you thought about doing a book? And so it was one of those moments where I'm like, this led to this, led to this, led to this, which is really what my book is about. And so when I think about the beauty of success, so many people are like, what does that mean? What does success look like? And success is something that we have to find on our own terms. And the way that I start the book in terms of how I've defined my success and how I continue to look at success is understanding who you are in your pillars. And so we set the stage with what are your pillars? How do you find them? What do they mean? And how do you fulfill those pillars throughout, whether you're an entrepreneur, an entrepreneur, stay at home, whatever it is you're doing. And it came through me really aligning on my pillars of community, mentorship, education, and capital. And so no matter what I do, no matter what I board, what boards I join, I'm always kind of planning against, does this satisfy one of the pillars that really serve me as myself, but enable me to serve my community, to serve others? And so when I think about takeaways from the book, it really is like, define yourself for you, because others will do it and it may not be who you are or what you want to stand for. So how do you do that? So I give workshops and tools and tips. And then another thing that I call out is that it can be greater than you ever imagined. You know, as people, we sometimes limit ourselves, we limit our brain, we limit what we can do. And not because we try, but maybe we haven't seen it, maybe we don't know, maybe there's fear. And so in all iterations, it's always like, wow, this is greater than I can ever imagine. And if I think that, and I'm very spiritual based, so I believe in God, then through that, all things are possible. So no matter what you believe, it has to be something greater than you, but things really can be greater than we imagine if we allow ourselves to receive goodness and abundance. And if we really know who we are and what we stand for, so that we know what our non-negotiables are. Chapter 3.
Yeah, the non-negotiables. And it takes work, right? It takes work in you as the author of this book, and somebody who's gone through, you know, all the success that you have. You even have to remind yourself of that sometimes. And I know because we've talked about that. And so I think people forget that too. It's not just they're going to read your book once and life's going to change. It's muscle memory. You know, you're going to have to check yourself sometimes. But if you have the foundation, then you have a North Star to always go back to.
Absolutely. And, you know, similar to you and what I just love about you and our friendship all these years, chapter 5, Know When to Pivot to Survive and Thrive in my book. And so much of it is being able to pivot and to thrive, right? And I always go back and I look, like the other day, I was like, you know, I created a brand with a celebrity who's kind of out talking about it as though she did it herself. And I'm always like, should I, could I, what should I do? And it's like, I needed to pivot away, and I'm thriving in an environment that works for me, that celebrates me, that doesn't dim my light. And so we do have to remember that we're thriving at the end, and we need to be well when we're doing it. And so that's kind of the metric of what I think about. And to your point, it's muscle memory. Like, I was meditating. I've been really trying to do a meditation for 20 minutes because I'm good for a 5. Every morning I'm like good. And I've been trying to extend it. So I'm in this, like, I was like, oh my gosh, I did it. I'm in this peace. Everything feels good. And then it's at this point, like 5:30 a.m., stuff starts happening, school, all these things. And I'm all frantic and anxiety. And I had to literally take a second and like take a deep breath and say, and this is why we meditate. So that as you start spinning around, you can easily regulate yourself, calm yourself down, and get you back to a place of like ease. So it's muscle memory.
For sure. It's muscle memory. And I think you touched upon something in my book. It's also trusting your gut. Like, there's a difference between, you know, an over-exaggeration of your flight or fight mode. There's an inherent intuition we all have. And most of the time our body's talking to us and telling us like, this isn't serving you, this isn't for you, but we don't trust it. We have this like, no, but I have to push, I have to make it work because that's how I succeed. And sometimes you succeed more by not pushing because you're pushing in the wrong direction.
Absolutely. And I love that too, because I think the hardest thing is to trust our gut. Like that pitter patter, you know, the feeling of uneasiness. I was literally in the middle of a big deal yesterday, and my lawyer wasn't available till Monday. The other person's lawyer had redlined it. And I just called her and I was like, we don't have to have legal jargon, but can we just have a discussion? So we get on, we're going through it. And like something just felt off as we were getting through the deal points. And in my head, it was like, oh, I don't know if this is going to work, but I had my lawyer's brain, the red line. So I'm trying to like what everyone's telling me to do. We get off the phone. It feels awkward, but it was like, fine. I call my other business partner and we're talking it out. And I was like, something is off. And he's like, well, what do you want to do? So we redid the deal, and I called the founder back and I said, what do you think about this? Like, something was telling me, but I needed to stick with the script. And she was like, I love that. And she said, me too. And she said, at this point, I don't want to feel like I have to just do something because I'll miss the opportunity or someone has told me to. And so in that moment, we were both like, I'm so glad that we each listened to our gut, received our gut. And then more than that, we actually impacted what our gut was saying because we made a change. Sometimes you hear it and you don't know anything about it. Not only did we hear, but literally in a matter of hours, we reconciled it, fixed it. And we got off the phone like, this feels so good. It's going to be great.
Yeah, no, I love that you went through that recognition. And because it is steps, it's like trusting it's there, receiving it when it happens, listening, and then doing something differently about it. And so it's multi-step. But I do think that's a good way to segue, because you're in my book, The Yay! Purpose Pivot too. And I'm going to give Kendra a shout out. She did, this is an example of pay it forward to your friends. You had just done your book, and I said, I wanted to write a book. And you said, Melissa, you want to write a book? I'll show Wiley. And this is what friends do. So I forever appreciate that you did that. Because I was like, okay, who knows? And then that email from you came back. They want to talk. So thank you. But in my book and another book, we're going to make say you have to read the full book to get the full story. But in the book, a main section you're a part of is called Breaking Down to Build Back Up. And what I love about what you shared is, to me, from an outside perspective, it feels like all the things you learned from that breakdown moment is serving you today, right? Because you're taking different approaches and everything. But it's followed by a quote that I'm going to read. When you're in it, living life as a high performer, you don't even realize that you're under stress because you've conditioned yourself to believe that that pressure is normal. And so tell us a little bit more about that and what you've learned from that.
Oh my gosh. First of all, Melissa, I just like pay it forward. You've introduced me to people. You've brought me into rooms. Like that's really what it's all about. And I feel like more than ever, we really just have each other. Like we can't count on all of these other forces that be. Like we have to treat each other right. And so I'm so thankful for your success. Every time you're like, I get a book order, I'm like, yes, because we all know how hard it is to do this thing. So thank you for trusting me with your idea and moving that forward. It's just so fascinating what an experience I had. And I'll say this, I was praying and praying and praying for different outcomes for God to move me from my situation, to keep my eyes open. And so when the opportunity came, I was like, this is it, this is it, this is it. And I went at it with like full force because I'm a Taurus. So we go all or nothing. We're like, go big or go home. So I was like, okay, I'm going to move this. I'm going to ship this. I hired a president. And I like went so barreling fast into it. Now on the other side of it, because I always say, I'm like, I have such a high capacity for work. Like I have a high capacity. I love it. And so I don't expect everyone else to, but because I've been moving at that pace, it wasn't until I got into that situation where it was just like, oh my gosh, this, I'm going to have a breakdown. This is awful. Things were happening to my skin that I just didn't even know about. But the beauty of that is that I remember my lawyer saying, like, we got to get you out of here. This is not good. This is not what we agreed to. And I said, it's not time. And I kept praying. And I said, these are the two things that I want to get done. It's not time. And those things got done. And it was immediately like, God, like, it is time. Like, get out. And the timing with things that are happening in the world and administration was so perfect. I couldn't even plan it. It was ordained. And so coming out of that situation, it wasn't like I shouldn't have done it. It was like in every iteration of every moment of my career, what did I learn and how do I move forward? And one of the things that I've really been looking at is patterns, right? And so even now something happens and I saw the pattern happening and I caught myself and I wrote it all down and I sent it to my coach and I'm like, oh my gosh, this latest experience enabled me to have the biggest awakening in my career, to break this pattern, to really take care of myself, but still like have the vision and the gumption and the passion to do what I want to do. And so I would not change that experience. And from a wellness perspective, even being able to sit and meditate for longer periods of time, I was just in Martha's Vineyard, my schedule. I'm usually like, go, 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 this, this, that. I like went to the beach with my daughter. I rode my bike. And so it gave me just such a different mindset of work, but also a feeling that comes whenever you break down to like the barest of where you thought based upon how you perceive yourself and how you portray yourself to get to the other side of what that looks like.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And that's the thing that I think is important in the conversation. You know, when I think people think if they pause or if they take a different point of view, then they're so scared that they're not going to be as successful, you know, they're not going to be who they are. But at the end of the day, who you are is who you are. Like you're driven, I'm driven. Every woman I'm speaking to on this podcast is super driven. You're not going to take that away. You're going to still go to Martha's Vineyard, but the fact that you could plan your time differently while you're there and not have yourself under like the pressure cooker every second you're on that island, you're going to do what you need to do because you're brought there to do something, but then you're also going to carve out space.
Yeah.
And have that with your daughter, which I know she appreciates greatly.
Yes. Oh, and you already know, I mean, that is the thing that we all talk about. We won't even say the B word, but it's like this crazy balance of life and wellness and well-being. And it's like, you know, even with your health scare, it's so eye-opening that the health scare led to you now impacting your wisdom and your knowledge and just your experience with so many people and like having the platform to do it. And so it is, it's every experience is a wake-up call, especially as we get older, because things are changing and the way that we used to show up, we simply cannot, so that we can be here and be able to play with our young children.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Well, one of the things I want to talk about is that, right? It's the evolution we're making for ourselves and all this learning and giving ourselves grace and leaning into growth wisdom. And it's the role models that we have the opportunity to be for our daughter. So what are some of the things that, you know, you do at home, some of the practices that you have with her? Because I know we've talked about this a little bit, to help give her that grounding as she continues to grow up.
So one of the things is, my daughter is a competitive swimmer and she's been coached her whole life. And I'm so glad because her sense of, my husband was an athlete. I was an athlete. I was a cheerleader. And this like sense of teamwork, this sense of looking out for people, this sense of kindness, this sense of we're all in together. And so I love her to competitively compete because she always has to think about that. And at home, because my mom has always, it's you treat people right. You know, that is how we show up. That's how we think about ourselves. So we instill that. We've been doing a lot of meditation, sound baths. She'll meditate on her own. I bought her the chime bowls. We went to a sound bath class because we're finding, especially with kids, that they have pressure too. And so my husband has a very impact, you know, senior executive job. I'm like running around everywhere. She's got her own packed board of scheduling. So I really try to have a day where if you want to stay in your pajamas all day, stay in your pajamas, talk to your friends. Let's do our meditation in the morning. Let's do our prayers. Let's do our sound baths. And I'm really like my morning starts. I do believe that you, and I read this somewhere, so I may have shifted it to work for me. I do believe that you're supposed to be in the sunlight, like sunlight within 2 hours of waking up. And so I'm very fortunate, you know, even though I get up at like 5:30, as soon as it's time, I spend that time in the sun. I do my morning tea, a matcha green tea packet, an 8-green tablet, a Dr. Nigma vitamin C. And I've started adding this like mushroom blend for brain cognitive health. That's my thing every day. Everyone knows I like working with my little baggies.
Well, this is your routine and it's good to have that. If that sets your day, you know, it just kind of like positions you for success for you, that's what's important. And I love that you meditate. My daughter loves that as well. And I love that they're teaching these things of just breathing and finding your, you know, that space to meditate and just find that mental grounding. I don't think that, you know, we exercise that enough. So it's good to start at that young age. One of the things we also talked about, because you're in the beauty industry at the time where you felt like you were breaking down to build back up, you know, you talked about the outward evidence of your stress that you were having with your skin, which you had never experienced before. But I would think that that experience also shifted momentarily anyway, how you saw yourself in the mirror. How do you see yourself in the mirror today? And how do you speak to yourself?
Oh my gosh. I love this question because so much of what we say over ourselves is how we show up and can get in this like spiral. And one of the things that happened for me when I was going through that experience was my skin was just, oh my gosh, it was so broken out. It was peeling. And even my mom was just like, I've never seen your skin look like this in your entire life. And she was also like, I hope it gets together because you're ruining the family reputation. Because everyone has really
thanks, mom.
Like, thanks, leave it to your mom. But it was because then that outward piece, because of what we do is so public, we're like speaking, we're on stage. And so it really weighs on you in such a way. And so that's also where I was like, I have to get out of this environment. And even when I see you in a few weeks, you're going to be like, wow, your skin looks so good, because it's like, it's what I'm doing on the inside. It's the meditation. It's also the outside, because whenever we take the time to be in the sun, to do our vitamins, to work out, the things that we need as humans to be well, to feel well, and to look our best, like it's just, it's all interconnected. And so I can see the difference. And, you know, also we're dealing with hormones, like something that is going to happen inevitably, but then how we handle it, I think is all impacted by all of these factors, and stress being, you know, the number one thing. I had no idea. I've learned so much through this process about the inner workings of, and what happens to high achieving women for us that may not happen to our spouses or to other people.
Yeah. Well, I took as deep of a dive as I could leaning on conversations with experts in the second chapter of my book, all about what happens to our body under stress for that very point. I mean, you know it when you say it aloud, it feels intuitive, but really don't think about all the things that get released in your body when you're under duress. And there's a difference between positive stress and the things that fuel you and the adrenaline, right? Because you're doing what you love. To the other stuff that's like depleting you, taking all that positive energy away, and what gets released into our bodies when that happens really has longer term effects that I think we underestimate.
Wow. And I think the beauty of our generation, I feel like, and our children, they're blowing us out of the water. But just the knowledge that we have, because our parents didn't know, they didn't necessarily have the tools. And we're talking about it more, like in such a different way. And it doesn't necessarily have to be that you have to spend thousands and thousands of dollars. It's like subtle little changes that we can make and that we're now, I think, consciously thinking about.
Yeah, absolutely. I've had my moments where I've already seen I put this into action where I feel I could see that I'm having that feeling I don't like to have. What am I doing differently in this moment? And it's been really helpful, but it takes a lot of work. But this has been great. Yeah, this has been great to get on with you. And I think people are going to continue to follow the successes that you will continue to have because you have an always learning mentality and a true visionary. But before I let you go, we have to do some rapid fire questions.
Okay. Oh my gosh.
Okay.
Oh my gosh.
Okay. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right. Question number one, who's your biggest role model and why?
I would have to say, and I know it's cliche, but my mom. And the reason is because my mom was a single mom for some time, but my mom took me with her when she traveled for work. And it gave me such a broad view and I was part of it. And so with my daughter, it was always like, my daughter's going to be part of my life. And she's gotten to travel and do all of these amazing experiences.
I love that. My mom would be on my list too. Second.
Rapid fire.
Okay, fine. What is on your beauty counter, Miss Beauty?
Oh my gosh. So it's always so hard because I work with, over 200 beauty brands in our catalog. And so I'm always very sensitive, but I will say Care Beauty is something that I'm really excited about right now. So BeautyStat is my cleanser. And Care Beauty has been my serum for some of my dark spots. And then their Lift molecular mask and moisturizer. So those two combined, I'm like, this is amazing. And of course, Dr. Rose, and of course, Loved One. And of course, Dorian Morris. So it's all of the things and Lamique. But that's kind of what I'm doing right now.
Okay, I love it. All right, last question. If I went into your Spotify list, what is that song that gets you in your flow space?
So it's so funny because in my head, I like feel like I should be saying something like Beyonce or Taylor Swift. But in real life, it's Master P, I'm About It, and Jada Kiss, We Gonna Make It. I know I'm from Texas, it's old school. Everyone's gonna be like, what are those songs again? But that is my like by myself in my hood moment, and it's Master P and Jada Kiss.
I mean, whatever gets you in your flow space gets you in your flow space. So, well, thank you so much, you guys, for being on. Thank you, Kendra, for being on. Thank you for everybody for listening. This is Kendra Bracken Ferguson, a great friend, also an amazing entrepreneur, visionary, author. Really appreciate the time. Yes, get that book up there. Appreciate the time that you spent with us today.
Thank you so much, Melissa. Congratulations. I'm excited for our best-selling book to be out there for everybody.
Thank you. All right. Thanks so much, everybody.